doing that tonight, but I'm thankful I know who he is, and I know why he came. Amen. As the song just mentioned there a second ago, and I pray that you know who he is. It's a miserable life if you don't know who he is. When all those disciples went away and Jesus said, "Are you going to go away also?" He said, "Who are we going to go to? Man, there is nobody else. There's nothing else in this world. There's nothing else in this life that can fill the void like Jesus Christ, like God can." All right, the book of Romans chapter number 1. Book of Romans chapter number 1. This is a thought that's been on my heart for quite a while now, but I guess the Lord didn't see fit for me to put anything together on it until just this past week. But as we are reading through our Bible and the Bible reading, and I'm looking forward to the Bible reading schedule for next year. We're doing the first mention words in the Bible, or the only mentioned words, and we'll be handing those books out sometime in the next couple weeks, getting ready for January 1st, and encourage everybody to participate on the daily Bible reading. It's a good thing for you to read your Bible every day, and I think it's a good thing that the church is reading together. The church is reading the same passages together. That's a good thing. So even if you didn't do it before, even if you don't want to answer the question, I encourage you to go along with us in the Bible reading plan and read together. But as we went through it, every time I read through there, I said this earlier, that God shows me something different. And every time I pay attention to it and read through there, God's always showing me something. And this last time of reading through Paul's epistles, all the books that Paul wrote, there was something that stood out. There are things I already knew, but there's a theme that stood out this time when I read through it. And it's amazing that God will do that, but he'll do it when you need it. And so the theme that stuck out, which is what I'm going to preach about this morning, is what I needed during this time of reading through here. And the thought this morning is Paul's prayer life. Paul's prayer life. I'm teaching through the book of Colossians, and Colossians 1 verse 3, I believe, Paul talks to them about him praying for them. And all through Paul's writings, he talks about prayer. And that's the theme that stood out to me, and that's what I want to preach on this morning. Keep your Bibles open. We will stay only in the Pauline epistles, but I want to show you a few verses. Romans chapter 1 verse 9, if you're there, say amen. Romans 1 and verse number 9. Here's what Paul says. This is the very first mention of any kind of form of prayer that Paul mentions in his writings is found in this verse. And I believe that this one verse sets a pattern or a picture of all the rest of Paul's dealings with prayer is found in this very first verse. And we're going to look at that this morning, but look at a few other things first for introduction. But Romans 1:9 says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." Prayer is a very essential part of the Christian life. It is a privilege to go to God in prayer. In the Old Testament, we find that they had to go to the priest, and the Catholic Church didn't realize that Christ took care of all that. And now we can go directly to the throne of grace, and we can talk to God the Father, the Creator of heaven and earth. I can talk to Him anytime I need to. In the Old Testament, there was a system set up in order for them to get an answer from God. Moses would have to go up on the mountain and set himself apart, and the people couldn't even approach the mountain while Moses was up there to talk to God. "Lord, what do you want me to tell the people?" Then he would come back down and tell them. And then God had them create the tabernacle, and they had all these things they had to do and to cleanse themselves. And then once a year they go to the Holy of Holies, and God would meet with them in the tabernacle. We find at the beginning of Leviticus, God is in the tabernacle. Moses is on the outside, and God is talking to Moses, but him only. At the end of Leviticus, we find where Moses is in there with God talking. Leviticus showed them their way into God. But that's how the Old Testament worked. But I am so very thankful this morning that I do not have to call up a priest, a preacher, a pope, or anybody and say, "Would you please ask God this for me?" Now, I'm thankful that I can ask for prayer requests for other people to pray with me. And I'm going to mention that. But I can talk to God myself. And it's a privilege that is not used by a lot of people. You say it's a simple thing. The thought of prayer is a simple thing. It seems like a Sunday school lesson, but yet people don't do it. I'm talking about taking time out to talk to God. People don't do it. You say, well, I thank God for my meal. Praise the Lord for it. You know what pray means? It means to ask. That's what it means. Saying, Lord, thank you for my food. Would you please bless this food? If that's as far as your prayer life goes, you're struggling this morning. There's power in prayer. And as we are going through these times we're going through, we need each other to pray more than we ever have. We need prayer. We need people interceding on our behalf. Paul talks a lot about prayer. Matter of fact, in some form of the word pray, whether it's prayer, praying, pray, prayers, prayeth, Paul mentions this prayer, this thing of praying, 46 times in his epistles. He talks about it quite a bit. And I want to look at a few of those things before we get back to this verse. Turn with me to Romans chapter 15, verse number 30. Let's look at some things about prayer. Now, I'm not going to get, the subject of prayer is way too vast to cover in just a few minutes this morning. But I'm looking at Paul's prayer life and about it. We find patterns for praying in Paul's writings. I'm not even going to cover that this morning. But we find specific things that Paul prays for people. We find him praying for other preachers. We find him praying for people. And he specifically mentions things he's praying for. And they're good patterns to follow when we're praying for others. But there's no time to go over that this morning. But I do want to look at a few things. The first thing I see in Paul's writings and the things he mentions about prayer is there's a lot of verses where he is requesting prayer. Where he's requesting prayer. You say, what's that? It's asking for prayer. Telling somebody, would you please pray for this? Look in Romans chapter 15, verse 30. Romans 15, 30. It says, let me get over there myself. Romans 15, 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your what? Prayers to God for who? For me. So I find that as Paul's going through here, he is not shy to ask for prayer. You know, that's one thing that we should not be also. As a child of God, we're here to carry one another's burdens. We're here to help one another. We're to support one another. And there's no greater support you can give for a fellow brother or sister in Christ than to pray for them. We have Wednesday night prayer. We're going to start back on Saturday and try to be more faithful doing that. And during those times, we look around and say, does anybody have a prayer request? And man, what a thing it is for a brother in Christ to tell another brother or sister in Christ to say, will you please pray for me about this? There's some people that carry heavy burdens. And they say, well, I've been talking to God about it. Maybe he wants for you to get some other people involved in praying. A lot of times pride will keep us from asking. And you don't always have to go over the details. God knows the details. But there's something about somebody going to another brother or sister. Paul wasn't afraid to do it and said, would you please pray for me? Would you pray? And a lot of times his prayer request was for the furtherance of the gospel when he prayed. I noticed that Paul, when he is requesting prayer for himself, it's very rarely, if not any, prayer request for selfish things. He's not asking for those. He's asking that God would help him to further the gospel. A lot of times prayer requests are very, very selfish, and we still can ask those, but Paul very rarely did that. It was for the furtherance of the gospel. It was to help him go another mile to tell somebody else about Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to be bouncing around here for just a moment in the Paul line epistles here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I find Paul's request of prayer. And look, we're going to look at a few more of those. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 11. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 11, you're there, say amen. Ye also helping together by what? prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Here we mention again where Paul is asking other people to help pray with him for him. This is why it's very important that churches don't give up on prayer meeting. Give up on praying for one another. It's a corporate prayer we find where he's asking these churches if they would meet together and pray for him. We try to, you know what Paul was? He was a missionary. You know what we ought to pray for? Every missionary we have. They need that just as much as they do our financial support. They need a church coming together and praying for them for the furtherance of the gospel. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Say, Brother Andrew, this is a common subject. Or I tell you what, it's a subject that needs to be mentioned more often because we don't do it. We do not pray like we should as a church. And we need to do better. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 19. Philippians 1:19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation. Now he's not talking about his soul salvation. He's talking about a trial that he's going through that would turn to his good through your what? Prayers. And the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I wonder how many times there's things that people are going through and they're stuck there because people are not praying for them. I find illustration after illustration in the Bible about this. See, we go through hard times, we go through struggles, and we don't carry one another's burdens, and we just seem to go through this rut of problem after problem when all the Lord wants us to do is ask Him about it and ask Him to help. Paul was not shy to say, would you please pray for me? Together, as a corporate, as a church, would you please pray for me? He was not afraid to do that. Look at Philemon. Philemon, or as they said down in Belize, Philemon. Philemon chapter 1, verse number 22. I'm not going over all 46 verses that Paul mentions prayer in some form or fashion. I'm just showing you a few. Philemon chapter 1 and verse number 22, the only chapter there. The Bible says, but with all prepare me also a lodging. He's planning on coming to him. For I trust that through your, what? Prayers. I shall be given unto you. Preacher's coming. We have a preacher coming here in a couple weeks, Brother Grady. And I've begun, and we ought to begin to pray for him. He's coming to us to preach the word of God, that God would give utterance, that he would do something in our hearts. We ought to be praying about that before it ever gets here. And praying for him as a church and individually. Too many times we come to church and we have not prayed one time about the service. We haven't prayed for the preacher. We haven't prayed for the Sunday school teacher. We show up and then expect God to do something for us, and we never asked for it. There's people that leave church every day. Every time the doors are open, they leave and say, I didn't get anything. And I understand there's some preachers that aren't feeding, but there are some that is feeding, but they don't come asking God for anything. Like God's just going to pour it out for you without you even asking for it. Man, we ought to ask God for it. We ought to ask God to touch the preachers that are coming, as we find here in the book of Philemon. In 1 Thessalonians 5:25, you don't have to turn there, but 1 Thessalonians 5:25, Paul simply says, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. You know, as a pastor, I covet your prayers. I do. Man, I tell you what, the other side, you got God the Father, he's trying to help us out, but on the other side, that guy's fighting just as hard as God is. And you know what I need? I covet your prayers. You want me to pray for you, and I will, and I do, but I cover your prayers as a preacher. My family, and I know there's some of you that do, and I'm very thankful for it. Let me look at one thing quickly, just a side note about this request for prayer. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I mentioned that you very rarely find Paul. Matter of fact, I can't recall a time in studying this that Paul ever asked other people to pray for something in his life that was a personal issue. I can't find it. There were things like pray that I wouldn't be hindered from taking the gospel, pray that I'll be able to reach the people in prison. Pray that I'll be able to further the gospel. Pray that I'll be able to come to you. Things like that. We find Paul asking for prayer requests all the time. And now listen, don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you don't ask for personal things. I don't find Paul doing that though. The only time I find when it comes to prayer and something personal in Paul's life is where he goes to God for that thing and he only asks three times and he never mentions it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 9. Y'all there, say amen. We're just looking at Paul's prayer life. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. He had a physical problem. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon us. He is not asking the church at Corinth to pray for his flesh problem. He's not asking them to pray about this ailment that he has. He's just telling them, I prayed about it three times. God told me my grace is sufficient. I'm going to live with it and give God glory. We're just looking at Paul's prayer life. Amen. There's people that have prayed for years and years and years and years and years for something to be taken away, and God has not saw fit to do that. You say, what do I do? Give God the glory. Let God get all the glory. I see a man like Buster Kinsey that gets up here and preaches with a touch of God on him. He plays the piano. He plays the guitar. I see other people that go through things, hard things in life, and they got a smile on their face, and God uses them. Guess who gets all the glory? God does. God does. What a privilege for you to be somebody that God would choose to do that with, to give him glory. So Paul, I see him asking for prayer, but if you find a place, come show me. But I don't find where he's ever going to somebody and saying, hey, my toe hurts, would you please pray for me? I'm not telling you not to do that. I'm looking at Paul's prayer life. But I am saying that we need to be less selfish in our prayer request and more to the furtherance of the gospel. More to the furtherance of us seeing people get saved. That is what this is all about. That's what it's all about. Not only do I see the request of prayer, asking for prayer, but I also see the reality of prayer. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. You say, what's the reality of prayer? The reality of prayer is we need prayer. The reality of prayer is you need prayer. You can't tell me. Nobody in here could come up and tell me with a straight face that you do not need prayer. We need God. Somebody going on our behalf to God. That's one of the things that's good about a local church is other people will pray for you. And if a pastor is worth anything, he'll pray for you. And I do my best. I'm not perfect, but I do my best to pray for everybody in this church every day and every kid. And everybody, I try to do that. Sometimes I don't know what to pray. I just say, Lord, please keep the devil away from them today. You know, some days I don't know what to pray, and the Holy Spirit just urges me to say, God, would you put them under some serious conviction today about something? I do that. I mean, there might be days you're going along saying, man, why am I convicted about everything? I don't know. Some days that's what I get up and pray. I don't know what to pray. I'm thankful he knows what you need, but I try to mention your name to the Lord every day. You say, why is that? You need it whether you know it or not. You don't know what's on tomorrow. You don't know what's coming up next week. And we need to pray one for another. Amen. And I need your prayers. And I know there's some that do. I'm not able to mention every pastor I know every day. I'm not able to mention every missionary I know every day. I've got missionaries that are assigned to me just like you do. And I try to pray for them every single day. And I pray that you're praying for your missionaries. If you're not, there's a chance nobody from our church is praying for that missionary that day. Man, what a great responsibility we have. Not only do I see the request for prayer, but I see the reality of prayer. We need prayer. This is an essential thing. You want to see a church not make it? Stop praying like you ought to. Sometimes I've heard stories of prayer warriors, and the only thing holding that thing together was one lady or one man in that church that faithfully gave themselves to prayer. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 16. Y'all there? Is everybody okay? Ephesians 1, 16. We looked at Paul asking for prayer. Now I'm looking at the fact that he is telling these churches, I am praying for you. It is a necessity that we need prayer. It's a reality that we need prayer. Ephesians 1, 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He did it for Ephesians. In 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, you don't have to turn there. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Colossians 4, 12. Epaphras, which is one of you. He was the pastor of that church. The pastor of the church, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. We need prayer. And Paul shows us that over and over again. 2 Timothy 1:3, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Paul fervently prayed for these people. Timothy was his son in the faith. He was a young preacher that was a pastor at Ephesus, and he prayed for him night and day. It was heavy on Paul's heart to pray for him. Let me ask you this. Don't raise your hand. Has God ever woke you up in the middle of the night with somebody's name on your heart and mind? Has that ever happened to you before? If you shake your head yes and you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God's living in you, you are to pray for that person at that moment. That is why he did that. I've heard people before say, man, I was thinking about you. I don't know why. Well, did you pray for me? Amen. God does this to me all the time. I mean, I'll wake up in the middle of the night for some reason and somebody will be on my heart. So what do? The Lord has taught me to pray for them. For some reason, this person's on my heart. I need to pray for them right now. And I can't tell you how many times that has turned into a prayer meeting with me and the Lord, because all of a sudden all these names start coming to mind. There's been many days that I've got up and prayed for the church, and then later that night I'm laying there. I wake up for whatever reason. I think of one person's mind. I begin to pray for them, and next thing you know, I've gone through the list again. What is that? Night and day, just God putting it on your heart, you pray for them. And you know, there have been times, I don't know all the stories, there have been times where you find out the next day that somebody's going through something heavy and say, oh man, God put you on my heart last night. I was praying for you. Why? Because God knew what was coming on the next day. Praying one for another. Crying out to God to help somebody. Say, Lord, I don't know what they need, but God knows exactly what they need. And there's times where he'll give you a specific thing to pray about, whether it's conviction or comfort or whether it's some trial that they may be going through. But there's other times you don't have a clue and you say, Lord, I don't know why they're on my heart, but God, would you help them today? Whatever it is, Father, I pray that you'd help them. The reality of prayer, we need prayer. Now, we ought to pray one for another. Everybody ought to pray. But what I'm talking about right now is that we need prayed for. We need prayer. And if you need prayer, guess who else needs prayer? The person sitting next to you. The person in the pew in front of you, or chairs. The person in the chair behind you. We all need prayer. It's a reality. As things grow colder and darker, even more so, we need to be crying out to God. I wonder how many times somebody would come to you and say, would you please pray about this? You know, as a child of God, you are stuck when somebody comes and does that to you, because now you're obligated to pray for them. Unless you just flat out tell them, no, I will not pray for you. I would rather you do that and tell me the truth than to tell me you are and don't. Just say no. I've told this story before. There was a man, I don't even remember his name. I just remember this incident happening. I was working with him or doing something. I was a teenage boy, and we were going through the store, and he was a known prayer warrior. Everybody knew he prayed. He prayed everywhere he went. And somebody came up to him in the store and said, hey, brother so-and-so, would you please pray for me? And he got down on his knees in the store, grabbed him by the hand, and said, oh, God, would you please? And he began, that's how he prayed. And he began to pray for that person. I mean, specifically, what they asked for, he prayed for it. I mean, I'm standing there. I didn't know what to do. He gets up. Lady walks away. She's crying. He gets up and looks at me and said, if I didn't do it right there, I'd forget about it. And I don't want to lie to her. I want to pray for her. How many times have we been asked, can you pray for this? And later on, time goes by, and we never took time to stop and pray. I'm not saying you stop and do that in the grocery store, but if you're going to forget, you need to stop and pray in the grocery store. As a Christian, if anybody says, will you please pray for this, we're obligated to pray for them. I mean, you can tell God and them no, and you'd probably be better off at the judgment seat of Christ for telling the truth. But we need to take time to pray for them. I do my best. Listen, I'm not preaching this message about me. I'm just telling you some things God showed me. But I do my best if somebody says, hey, I'm having surgery on this day, will you pray for me, to try to make a note in my phone or something to go off and yell at me to say, you told them you'd pray for them, please do it. And church, we have to do that one for another. We have to do that one for another. We've got to pray. We've got to pray. And it's an encouraging thing and a good thing sometimes for you to let the people know I'm praying for you. That's an you don't have to do that. You can pray for them anyway. God will take care of it, but it's an encouraging thing. I get texts sometimes from people all in here that just says, preacher, I'm praying for you today. Just random. You know what I say? Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you for going to the Lord on my behalf. We see the reality of prayer. It's an absolute necessity. Not only is it a necessity, but it's a requirement. It's a requirement that you as a Christian pray. Are y'all still with me? I'm just going to read a few verses. Go to 1 Thessalonians, but I'm going to read some other verses. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's something we ought to do. Pray always. Philippians 1:4, always in every prayer of mine. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. These are required. It's required of a child of God to pray. You say it's a commandment? Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:17. You there, say amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. That's a short verse. What does the Bible say? If you think about it, pray without ceasing. That's not what it says. It said, as a child of God, pray without ceasing. Pray without. You say, does that mean I've got to keep my eyes closed? No, no. But you need to talk to God. There's a lot of times I'm just going down the road or I'm in the middle of working. Yesterday I was working on the ladies' restroom, the exhaust fan in there, things coming. And I was talking to the Lord about it. You know what that is? That's constantly just talking to Him about it. Pray with. That's a requirement for a child of God to pray. The question this morning is, how's our prayer life? Paul had a powerful prayer life. It was an effective prayer life. And I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I have to have prayer. My wife needs prayer. My children need prayer. This church needs prayer. You need prayer. If there wasn't somebody praying for your wife, would she be prayed for? Because you're doing it? If there was nobody praying for your husband, would he have any prayer? Or your children? Thank God for a local church. But I tell you what, a whole lot can get done if we'd have a few more people on board with praying one for another. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. You say, this isn't a Christmas message. I'll just try to preach whatever God tells me. He wants me to preach on Armageddon next Sunday. I'll do it. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 8. Look what Paul said. I will, therefore, that men pray where? Everywhere. Lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. He said, I would hope that people would pray everywhere. Why? We have to have it. It's a necessity. It's a requirement. I've said this many times before, that if somebody's going through a hardship or a hard thing, or my children or my wife, I don't want to have to get reacquainted with God before I go and say, God, I got to have your help right now. There's patterns of prayer in Scripture, and Paul has those. And a good prayer life to God in private closet prayer, where you get down and you talk to God, is a good thing to give Him praise, give Him glory for who He is, to thank Him for all He's done, to ask requests for other people, and then last of all, ask for whatever it is that you want. That's a good pattern to follow for prayer. But there's times, Brother Nick, that I've gotten phone calls, and it's, I don't have time for all that. I need to ask God for something right now. But you know, there's some people that won't do it because they don't know how to talk to God. They don't know how to talk to Him. You can tell most of the time in public prayer what people's private prayer is like. It sounds awkward when they're talking about being embarrassed of speaking in public, but you talk to God just like you would anybody else. I talk to my wife every day. There's a few other people. I talk to my dad a lot, call him up. And you know, that's exactly how I talk to God. He's my friend. He's a friend that sticks closer than any brother. He's as a father, as a mother. That's who He is. And I just talk to Him. There's people that, man, they got these weird ways of praying. They get up in public. You say, man, who are you talking to? I'm just talking to my friend when I talk to God. Lord, just thank You for being good to us. You can tell when people don't talk to Him very often when they pray in public. You can also tell the ones that are trying to put on a big old show. And I want to know, who are you talking to? We're not talking to the same person. If God is some unreachable deity that's just all this, all my, I mean, just, you know, that's not my God. My God's my friend. Is that okay? There's churches right now that are looking for better methods. They're looking for better programs. And I tell you what, they're missing the mark. It's not about better methods. It's not about better programs. You know what God's looking for? He's looking for better men and women that'll call out to Him. He is looking for a church whose reliance is on Him and Him alone, not another program. You can orchestrate this thing right out of the will of God and right out of this Bible and miss the whole thing. God is looking for a church whose reliance is upon Him. And you know how we tell Him our reliance is upon Him? We show Him and we talk to Him about it. And we tell Him, we cannot do this without You. Last night there was a few that came up and we prayed, and the prayer was, Lord, would You show up in the service tomorrow? Because if You don't, all this is a waste. What the church needs today is not more machinery. They don't need a better or new organization. They don't need more and novel methods. They need men and women that are full of the Holy Spirit of God, that know how to talk to God, that can go to God for one another. That's what the church needs. A lot of people will disagree and say they need all these things, and you got to have this, you got to have the music program, you got to have all. No. What we need is for God to get in this thing and guide and direct. And whatever we do, the Christmas play tonight, we're doing this and people are coming. And it's not about the play. It's not about the children. It's if God would get in it and maybe somebody will get saved. But God's got to be in it. We've got to go to God. Every play practice, as far as I can remember, what do, kids? We prayed and asked God that He would bless it, put His hand on it. It's a waste if we don't do that. Prayer is an essential thing. The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods. He's not running through a cable, a certain recipe. He flows through men and women that go to God in prayer and say, Lord, I can't do this without You. You can't do your job like you're supposed to without God being involved in it. It'll just be a waste unless God is involved in it. The Holy Spirit does not anoint a plan. He anoints men and women. Our sufficiency, church, is of God. So why are you saying all this? I'm talking about praying to God. Our help comes from Him. Not from Google, not from Facebook, not from any other person. Our help comes from Him. So why do we not talk to Him about what we need? Why would we do anything other than talk to Him about what we need? If we get any real help, it's going to come from God. It's going to come from Him. Our laziness in this area of prayer is borderline sin. Why would we do anything else than talk to God about it? I told you that this message came to me when I needed it. God was dealing with me about some things. And I tell you what, it's encouraging to know that you're praying for me and I'm praying for you and that we can pray and talk to God. Our sufficiency is of God. The children of this world, men and women of this world, especially in business, they will get up early and they'll stay up late to make a dollar. They'll just about lose their family over work. And they put their whole heart and passion into it. And the children of God are going through life and they won't get up early to God. They won't stay up late to talk to God. I'm telling you that for the worldly things, we'll go above and beyond. But when it comes to prayer, we wouldn't dare take special time out of our day to talk to God. And we're making a huge mistake. Making a huge mistake. We need to seek God. I'm a firm believer, and I try to do this every day. Before my feet even hit the ground, I talk to Him. Lord, thank You for another day. My wife's here. My children's here. Would You give them a good day? Maybe begin to start praying for people God puts them. Before you ever even get out of bed, you've talked to God. You know what most people do before their feet ever hit the ground? They are caught up in all the drama that's going on in Hollywood. They're caught up in every drama in people's lives. They've already liked Facebook posts. They've already scrolled through there before their feet ever hit the ground. They haven't talked to God one time. And they're about to face a devil. They're about to face a world that is against them. And before their feet ever hit the ground, they've already scrolled all around the world and saw what the news was. Before they ever talked to God. It'd be a good idea for Him to be the first and the last one you talk to every day. It would not hurt you to do that. People struggle doing that. And there's an even deeper prayer life that you need to have, that I need to have, where we actually go before God and we mention people's names. There needs to be that set aside time in our life. And there's so much that can be preached on when it comes to prayer. But I tell you a good place to start, and that's to start. Start just talking to God. Start taking them little things. Start talking to Him. Start praying one for another. Go back with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 9. Paul's prayer life. I believe this is the first time he mentions prayer in any form. Pray, prayeth, prayest, all those things. This is the first time anything is mentioned in Paul's writings. And I believe it sets a pattern for the rest of his prayer life. We see something in these few short words, and I'm going to give this to you quickly and I'll be done. And then we'll come pray and talk to God about this message. Romans chapter 1, verse 9. Are you back there? We won't turn to any more verses. I just want to show you four things that God showed me out of this verse that is a pattern for his prayer life that ought to be for ours. The first thing I see about this, let me read the verse again. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. The very first time Paul mentions anything about prayer, it's praying for somebody else. We see that. Here's the four things very quickly. First of all, I see his passion in praying. He starts off by saying, for God is my witness. That is a strong statement. I mean, people will say, this person witnessed me doing this. They'll even swear upon something. I swear by my mother's grave or whatever the case might be. He said, I'm telling you, God knows I'm telling the truth. I pray for you all the time. Man, what a passionate statement. That is to say, I am praying for you and God knows I'm telling the truth right now. How many times could we say that? Could we go and talk to people in our church and in our family and say, God knows the truth. God is my witness. I pray for you all the time. Paul was passionate about this. You're not going to sit there and claim that God is my witness and say that unless you were serious about what you were doing. God is my witness. We see the passion of his prayer life. He took this thing pretty seriously. And I believe we ought to do the same thing. Not only his passion, but his purpose. This was Paul's purpose in everything he did in his life. Whether it was praying, whether it was preaching, whether it was tent making, whatever it was, this was Paul's purpose. Y'all still with me? Verse 9. For God is my witness. That was his passion. Number two, here's his purpose. Whom I serve with my spirit in the what? The gospel of his son. This was his purpose in everything he did. So in praying for you, the purpose was the gospel of Jesus Christ. Man, we need to get back to that is our reason. That's the reason for the season. That's the reason for our life is the gospel. Everything we do, how we live, what we do, what we breathe, it ought to be the furtherance of the gospel. Not hindering the name of Christ. That others may see that Jesus is their, or can be their Savior. We see that his passion, his purpose was the gospel of his son. And I think that it would do us good in our prayer life that we would have a gospel-minded prayer life. Lord, help them. Why? So somebody might get saved. You've heard me do it on Wednesday nights. Every time somebody brings me a prayer request of sickness or cancer or any horrible thing, you've heard me pray over and over again, Lord, would you use this so somebody could see you? God, would you use this so somebody would get saved? God, would you use this so that somebody would get closer to you? A gospel-minded prayer. I'm not going to pray, Lord, would you please heal them up so they can make more money, so they can have a bigger house, so they can have a bigger car, so they can do this or do that. It's, Lord, would you do something in their life so others could see you high and lifted up? That was Paul's prayer. His passion, his purpose. Look at his promise. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing, I will make mention of you. Without ceasing. That was a promise that Paul made to them. Church, whenever we handed out the missionary prayer cards, I asked who wants to pray for missionaries. I didn't try to force that on anybody. And you said, I would like to do that. You know what you did? You made a promise before God that until October of next year, you're going to pray for those missionaries. You know what that is? A promise. Paul said, without ceasing, this is what I'm going to do. As a member of this church, I've had people say, I pray for you, and I thank you for that, and I pray that you keep your promise. And I'll try to do the same towards you. And the last thing we see is his persistence. He made a promise that he would do it without ceasing, and that goes along with the persistence. Without ceasing, I make mention of you when? Always in my prayers. We see his persistence. He stayed faithful. By a raise of hands, how many times have you heard a testimony of somebody that was prayed for years and years and years, and then they finally got saved or God did something? And they prayed for them over and over and over and over again. If you have lost family, if you got backslidden children, if you got backslidden family members, don't stop praying for them. Pray always. You say, you don't know what they're going through. They're too far gone. God knows whether they are or not. You pray for them. Always persistent. We find this picture here of Paul's prayer life in one verse. We see his passion, his purpose, his promise, his persistence, and it's constant throughout all of his books when talking to these churches. And you know what? I believe Paul did every bit of this that he said he would do. I believe he did it. Church, how is our prayer life? I know as a church, this is an area we need to do better in. Me as the pastor takes the responsibility for that. That's not on you. That's on me. But how's your prayer life? How's the prayer life in your home? How's the prayer life for your children and for your spouse and for those you work with? There's people I will never meet that you know. And unless you ask me to pray for them, they don't get prayed for unless you do it. That's a big responsibility. And you know, you may say, Brother Andrew, will you pray for so-and-so that I work with? And I will. Sometimes I don't know what to pray. I pray God gets the glory out of whatever it is. But you know more better how to pray for them, and that's your responsibility. The more praying there is in the world, the better the world will be. The mightier the forces against evil will be. The more prayer this church has, guess what? The more victories we'll see. The more power we'll see. The more help in homes we'll see. The more people saved we'll see. The more prayer. Miss Sarah, you come to the piano. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. How's your prayer life, church? Listen, what a wonderful time after a message like this to come renew your prayer life with God. Say, Lord, some things that you spoke to my heart about, don't let pride keep you tied down. How's your prayer life? Say, preacher, I need to do a little bit better. Why don't we come talk to the Lord? You know, I know people can pray where they're standing. I understand that. But there's something about humbling yourselves. That's what the altar was for. The altar, even the Old Testament, was for humbling yourself before God and saying, Lord, would you help me in this area that was just preached about? There's many that have come. Would you come this morning? How's your prayer life? She begins to play. How's your prayer life?